Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Rebecca Henderson on the qualities she believes we should look for in a good children's Bible.
But over and over again, you see God's abundant mercy for a people that were incredibly evil and for a man who was so sinful, like we all are. And so that's what gets lost when they try and make it a really simple moral lesson, I think, is God's character.
Rebecca Henderson next. A children's Bible can be a good way to introduce young children to the wonders of God and His Word. There are many children's Bibles out there, but they're not equal in communicating biblical truth. Rebecca Henderson looked into this subject, coming out with her picks for the best children's Bibles. She writes for various sites and publications. Today, we talk with her about her Christianity Today piece, The Quest for a Good Children's Bible. Rebecca, tell us about your background in kids ministry and your interest in children's Bibles.
I got started in kids ministry as a 13-year-old in the church I grew up in, non-denominational church, and I got to lead the little 4 and 5-year-olds classroom. I did that for a number of years and loved it. I went to college, and my college church, I served in kids ministry there in like the 3-year-olds room. After college, at the church my husband and I attended, served in kids ministry there, and I just ended up with a lot of kids ministry experience. And then the church plant my husband and I are a part of in Raleigh, North Carolina, when they found out I had kids ministry experience, they were like, could you start our kids ministry? That was an adventure. And so I was in that role for about 2.5 years starting up that kids ministry. But all that to say, I have had a lot of experience reading kids' Bibles, whether it has just been for a little Sunday lesson or it's been picking the Bible that our church is going to be walking through with our children. And in all that time, I found just some not so great ones. Either they'd be very boring or they would be long. And I figured most kids' Bibles were like that up until about a couple of years ago when I read the Jesus Storybook Bible for the first time. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, what an amazing Bible. What an amazing way to tell the story of the gospel to children. Mm-hmm. And it moved me even as an adult. And so then that kind of also kickstarted looking at different Bibles. And so that was the inspiration behind this piece. There's a lot of kids' Bibles out there, and not all of them are great, but then there are some ones that are truly exceptional, and I wanted to make sure that those people knew about those.
Well, thank you. Well, for those, most are going to be aware that there are Bibles aimed at children. Others may be a little bit surprised by that. I don't know. Can you kind of give an overview of what exactly is meant by a children's Bible and how they differ from just the standard Bible?
Yeah. So I should clarify. So there is there's the Bible, obviously. Then you have children's Bibles, which tend to be oftentimes the same text as a translation. So there's an ESV kids Bible, and that is typically just, you know, the regular text of the Bible, but then they'll add in little boxes aimed at typically like elementary school and middle schoolers. And then you have children's storybook Bibles. That's what I'm addressing in this piece. And those Bibles aren't seeking to read off scripture verbatim. They tend to condense the stories and give them for more of a younger audience.
So these would be, the ones we're talking about, would be aimed maybe just in general more of a elementary school-ish?
Yeah, preschool and elementary. Yep.
Okay.
Lower elementary.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to be talking about this throughout. The title of your piece is The Quest for a Good Children's Bible. And just kind of to give a little bit of an overview, what do you consider to be good? What qualities do you consider important?
Yeah, so I think the ones that stood out to me was a story. Most important thing was a Bible that told the story of the gospel, and that the story of the gospel wasn't lost within individual stories. That was a really big deal to me, because I think that's so important that kids understand that, like, the story of David is more than just like a story about a cool guy. But it's the story of God, of how God works through broken people, and how David is like a mirror of Christ to come. So that was a really big point. Accuracy was another big one. Some Bibles will add things in, or they will leave things out that provide like important context. And then with illustrations as well, you can get illustrations that aren't very accurate. So unfortunately, a lot of kids' Bibles, their illustrations tend to present a lot of the characters as very European. And so that's not great, because, you know, Jesus, yeah, they weren't Europeans. So yeah, those are the two big things. Yeah.
Okay. And we'll certainly get into more detail. You used kind of a colorful expression. You said that some of them, if they're not careful, can become little more than sort of a Christianese-filled Aesop's fables. And can you help us understand what you mean there?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest examples that comes to mind, I discussed this in the piece, is the story of Jonah. So you have kind of, we all know the story of Jonah, and Jonah gets called by God. Jonah doesn't want to. He goes in the ship, goes in the fish, etc. But a lot of the times children's storybook Bibles tend to stop the story at Nineveh being saved. And they'll focus really heavily on, this is what happens when you don't listen to God. We need to listen to God, and we need to obey, and we need to obey our parents as well. And it's, yes, that is true. But that's not really the point of the story. Because when the story of Jonah goes on, you see Jonah being so upset about Nineveh being saved, and just very, very hypocritical. And then so God plants a tree for him, and then the tree dies, and then Jonah throws a fit. But over and over again, you see God's abundant mercy for a people that were incredibly evil, and for a man who was so sinful, like we all are. And so that's what gets lost when they try and make it a really simple moral lesson, I think, is God's character.
In terms of, I guess one thing some people might be wondering is, especially when you're communicating to really young children, is it kind of focusing on that moral aspect? Does that make it maybe more something they can grab onto? Maybe some of the deeper theological concepts might be lost on a particularly young child.
Yeah, I think in some ways that is true, that simplifying does help. But we can also, we can simplify the character of God for like a three-year-old. So maybe mercy is a hard thing for a little three-year-old to understand, but they can understand forgiveness. They can understand when they do something wrong and their parents don't punish them, or don't shield them from their consequences. And things like God's power, God's care. So these big theological words that we like to talk about, they can be understood and explained to kids in a really accessible way. And I think that's what some of the best kids' Bibles do, is they explain that.
Well, we're talking about the quest for a good children's Bible. It's a Christianity Today piece written by my guest today, Rebecca Henderson. And we're going to get into a lot of other specifics, Rebecca, but you touch on in your piece, one aspect is reading it aloud. And was that one of your criteria? How well does it handle being read aloud? Is it something that can be easily understood when read aloud?
Oh, absolutely. So a lot of these kids' storybook Bibles are going to be read aloud by parents or read aloud by teachers in like Sunday school. And I think you really notice as an adult when you're reading aloud when a story isn't written very well. It can come across very clunky or very infantilized. Mm-hmm. And so I think the beauty of the prose really comes through when it's read aloud. And so that was a big thing. Like, when I was reading, or I could remember reading certain books to kids and being very bored, or just like the kids didn't like it either. Because I think sometimes we attribute to children simplicity that might not be there. Kids care about good stories and how things are told.
Do we know who, or do you know who is writing these children's Bibles? I mean, are they theologians? Are they biblical instructors, scholars, or are they sort of, for lack of a better term, layman?
Yeah, a couple of them. So let's see, the ones that I recommended. So the biggest one that comes to mind is For the Biggest Storybook Bible. Mm. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that one's written by Kevin DeYoung. So, you know, prominent pastor, theologian. Mm-hmm. The God with Us, A Journey Home. That's written by Jeremy Pierre. And I believe he is a professor at one of those SBC universities. I don't know which one. Jesus Storybook Bible is written by Sally Lloyd-Jones, who she has a large background in Christianity with her father, I believe, is Martin Lloyd-Jones.
As I recall, those are your three favorites that we're going to talk about. Do you have any idea how many children's Bibles are on the market? And then how many did you take a look at?
Yeah, for ones on the market, I would say probably upwards of like 20 or 30, I would guess. Use some of the, and there's got to be more that are out of print as well. I used to pick some of these going on the Amazon like bestseller list for children's storybook Bibles. And even those, the first couple, like I had never heard of. So there's a lot out there. For this story, I reviewed 8 different Bibles. Yeah, it was a combination of some of the bestseller ones that I mentioned, and then some newcomers that I had either read myself or heard a lot about from other people.
Rebecca, can you run through those that you took a look at? I think you mentioned it in your piece.
Yeah, so I took a look at the Big Picture Story Bible, 365 Bible Stories and Prayers, The Beginner's Bible, Precious Moments Storybook Bible, The Children's Illustrated Bible, The Jesus Storybook Bible, The Biggest Story Bible Storybook, and God with Us, A Journey Home. I think the most well-known ones on that list are going to be probably The Beginner's Bible, The Jesus Storybook Bible, and maybe The Big Picture Story Bible.
Okay. And when examining these, you looked at specific things. I mean, you had a criteria that you, can you talk about that? How did you go about evaluating?
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't kind of going in because with any preformed opinions on these, because I heard a couple of things about certain ones. And so I kind of set up a system and had all these kids' Bibles in front of me. And I was reading through certain stories in each one. So for every Bible, I read the creation story, the story of Jesus' birth, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, and then a number of, for lack of a better word, like the hero tales. So like the story of David, story of Jonah, those kinds of things. And alongside all of those, I would actually read the actual biblical text for it as well and see like how certain things were presented, what wasn't told, how is it told, that kind of thing.
Okay. And so as you did that, what did you find? I mean, can you talk about maybe just in general, and we can focus on those three, but the accuracy, what was included, what was left out? I mean, that's all, it's all very important.
One of the biggest things that I noticed pretty quickly, and I noticed this myself beforehand, was moralism in kids' Bible stories, which we discussed that a little bit earlier, but just, you know, trying to teach a moral lesson versus teaching about God. That was a very big theme. Another one was stories being taught as standalone stories. So you might tell the story of someone like David or Joseph, and just focus on telling the story as like a cool biblical superhero and not really link in the greater story of the gospel. And then a third thing that was really common throughout all of them was just inaccuracy. So either in details that were left out, things that were added in, or how a story was told.
And in terms of the hero stories, I think you mentioned that they tend to leave out failings or things that the Bible includes, sin, things that make them human, and God's redemptive working in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the stories would leave out the very messy parts of people, kind of presenting to the kids like David as some wonderful, amazing guy, and not telling them about David's fear, about David's relationships. And I think that like, as an adult, we know, like, I know that the fact that God used David and all of his imperfections is so important. But then even going further, the kids' Bibles tend not to address like the suffering that these characters experience as well. So David had an enormous amount of suffering. We see that throughout the Psalms. And it's kind of glossed over a lot of times because they want to present a character that is happy and joyful and yay. And those things are important, but it can become such a shallow representation of both those people and God, I think.
How do you respond to those that might say, well, maybe children at certain ages aren't ready to hear the stories of some of this intense suffering that some of these biblical characters went through?
Yeah, and I think that's where the parents come in, especially, or the Sunday school teachers, because kids, little kids know suffering. Like, it might not be on our level as adults, but they understand sin, they understand pain, they understand sadness. And I think for them to be able to understand that God knows that too, and that these people in the Bible know that too, that helps make them real for that. And I think that is where the parent comes in and is also able to be like, they know their kid and they know, hey, this might not be the best passage for them right now, so we're going to move to something else. I mean, obviously, this should still be presented appropriately. Like, there are some truly dark things that happen in the Bible that probably aren't the best thing for a 4-year-old or 5-year-old to hear. But you want to start tackling those things when you get to, like, middle school. Like, we can't leave things out, because then your child goes into high school or college and they hear from a professor about this awful thing that the Bible has, and they're thinking, like, is that how God is? Is God this awful, like, vindictive, old, like, the Old Testament God, that idea? Mm-hmm. And so that needs to be worked in from the beginning, I think.
So you're talking about three main areas where the children's Bibles can go wrong: shallow moralism, which you've talked about, narrative fragmentation, or just maybe focusing on a hero story but leaving out the broader context. Is that fair to say? Is there something else you would add to that as far as the narrative fragmentation?
Yeah, no, that's good. A good way to put it.
And then sheer inaccuracy. And I think for parents, grandparents listening to this, that I mean, it's all important, but what would be an example of what kind of inaccuracies did you find?
Yeah, so a big one that I think we can all identify with in one of the Bibles, the Beginner's Bible, I believe, when they're talking about the story of creation, they mention that Eve goes for the big red rosy apple. And it's like, no, that is not in there. And so I like, obviously that was probably done to make the story a little bit more interesting in their eyes. Most of the time there's not these like awful ulterior motives, but
right,
it is, the Bibles are a representation of the Word of God. And so I think it is crucially important that they are done so accurately. So that was a big one. Sometimes there are like quotes that are misattributed. So, in the story of like with Mary and Elizabeth, there is a reference. Let's see. Yeah. So it has, when the angel visits, Mary, and then Mary says, with God, all things are possible. One of the Bibles frames it as the response to her own pregnancy with Jesus, not as a response to the pregnancy of Elizabeth. And yeah, it's just important to get it right. And then, like I had mentioned earlier with like illustrations, that's another big one where obviously you can have different styles, and some kids' Bibles will just do cool little colorful abstract illustrations. But if you're going to draw people as realistic people, I think it's important that like their skin color is correct, because mm-hmm. kids need to understand, like, it's part of the historicity of the Bible, I think. So that needs to be respected. So.
And again, you're not attributing any ulterior motives to these or to the fact that you found that stories of heroic women in the Bible, you said it tend to be overlooked in general across the children's Bibles.
Yeah, that was really surprising. It was very hard to find a kid's Bible that had a lot of like women, like stories about women. Sometimes the story of Esther would be included, or Ruth and Naomi, but it was rare that both would be included in one Bible. Which I found really unfortunate. And I, once again, I don't think this was like this huge ulterior motive, but it's important for kids to read the Bible and understand that God's not just using boys. He's using girls too. And so I wish that there were more stories of women in the Bible for little kids. But there weren't, that was sad.
Well, your three picks for the three best children's Bibles, your pieces, The Quest for a Good Children's Bible, are the Jesus Storybook Bible, The Biggest Story Bible, and God With Us, A Journey Home. And you've touched on these a little bit, but can you Tell us just a little bit about each of those strengths and weaknesses and why overall you felt they were the best.
Yeah, the Jesus Storybook Bible, that one is the oldest of the three. That one is just beautiful. Like reading it as I was rereading it as an adult, I was reading the story of Jesus' crucifixion and I just wept. It tells the gospel beautifully. And it does a really good job of pointing everything back to Christ over and over and over again. Sometimes it can feel almost like a little excessive, or it can be like, oh, okay. But it's good as an adult to be reminded of that. I think the subtitle for that book is Every Story Echoes His Name. And so that's very, very much in there. I think the biggest weakness with it is this isn't necessarily weakness, but they tend to spend a long time on each story, which means that they can't do as many. So there were certain stories that were left out, like Ruth and Esther weren't in there. That's probably the biggest weakness, is it's maybe not the most thorough Bible, I'd say.
Okay. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. No. I was going to keep going.
One. Please go right ahead. On through them. Sure.
And then the biggest story, Bible storybook, because that one's a mouthful. That one has a really fun illustration style. It's very like abstract and it's really unique. And that one does a really good job of explaining theology to kids. I wouldn't say it's the best Bible for like a 3-year-old. But I think it could be especially helpful for maybe a younger elementary schooler who's grown up already hearing these stories a whole lot and to be able to demonstrate the theological emphasis. With that also comes its weakness, I think, in that sometimes it forgets to tell the story super well. For the story of Jesus' birth, it spends a number of pages discussing the lineage and the prophecies that led to it, which are so amazing and so important and really don't get talked about in many kids' Bibles. But then for the actual story of the birth, it's very, very short. And you're like, oh, you need to tell the story too. that's that one. And then, the third one, God With Us, A Journey Home. So this one, Benny, was the most unique of the three. It has the fewest amount of stories, I would say, but it is told from the perspective of these two angels. So a very unique literary device, but there's two angels telling you, the reader, about God. And it's not done in a super corny way either, which I appreciate. But it just discusses a lot of like God's character throughout the Bible and through these stories, and does a really good job of not shying away from some of the more difficult characters or difficult aspects of people's character. So that was a big one. But then similarly to Jesus Storybook Bible, it's not super duper long. So you do lose certain stories in there as well.
Well, some might be wondering, at what point should the children transition to just reading a regular Bible or just having a regular Bible read to them? Move away from the children's Bible?
Yeah, I think with each of these, there isn't really a reason why both can be read together. In fact, I think it's really important that kids are still getting the actual Bible because these are just a supplement. They aren't the Word of God. They're a representation of it, but they are not the true Word of God. And so I think these can still be really helpful ways to maybe explain a story to a kid for the first time. So perhaps a parent reads the storybook version and then they walk through the text together. I think maybe when kids start to get to that appropriate reading level of the Bible, so maybe like fourth or fifth grade or third grade, depending on the kid, is when you could start like bringing their Bibles to church and following along with the sermon. But so much of it depends on the child and even your church background. I know some denominations would probably be pretty much it is only the Bible and that's all we're going to do, whereas some wouldn't mind necessarily the aid of a storybook Bible.
But you're saying some might prefer not to use a quote-unquote children's Bible at all.
Yeah, I think there are some, perhaps maybe in the very, very Reformed tradition, you could get some of the idea of you only want like the true text. So, which I think, that can be a valid point as well. But I think the Bible can certainly be aided buy these tools.
Now, do any of these have, and I would imagine they do, video components or be have some sort of a companion video piece to them?
Yeah. I know the Jesus Storybook Bible has the most, probably the most like stuff around it in terms of like, I know it has a coloring book and a children's curriculum. I wouldn't be surprised if there was also a video with it. Similarly, the Jesus Storybook Bible, the biggest storybook Bible, I believe that also has like lessons with it and that kind of thing, but I'm not sure if that one has a video with it.
Are there any of these that you feel have the best, if you will, presentation of the gospel, or where maybe if you're wanting to introduce your children to faith in Jesus as their mm-hmm. Savior, is there one of these that you think rises above?
I think probably the Jesus Storybook Bible does the best job of that because in some ways it's more like the simplest. So the biggest story one that involves some theology, I think it's very helpful for kids who are in that sphere already. And then similarly, God with us, stuff with like angels and heaven, and that just might be a little hard to grasp for a kid who isn't necessarily hasn't grown up with that too much. But the Jesus Storybook Bible does a very good job of keeping things pretty accessible. All three I think would be excellent at it, but I think the Jesus Storybook Bible rises above in that aspect.
And is that the one that you would say would be best to use in a church context, a Sunday school?
Yeah, that's the one I've seen most often used in church context. I would say so, at least for like younger, like preschool rooms. I think the biggest story could be a lot more helpful for like maybe 5, 6, 7-year-olds, but for the littler kids, yeah.
Well, Rebecca Henderson, my guest today on His People, she writes for various publications and sites, including Christianity Today and Mere Orthodoxy. We're talking today, we've been talking to her about her Christianity Today piece, The Quest for a Good Children's Bible. So, Rebecca, it sounds like, well, not to put words in your mouth, but are you saying then there are some good choices out there? You just have to be discerning.
Yes, absolutely. There are some truly wonderful children's storybook Bibles out there where we really see the Lord working through His people and their craft. There are some not so great ones out there too, but there are definitely some good ones.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Rebecca Henderson, talking about her Christianity Today piece, The Quest for a Good Children's Bible. You can read it by going to ChristianityToday.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Scott Hubbard on the warnings in Scripture and why believers need to hear them.
He's going to keep me. I'm going to be with Him. I know that I'm not going to fall away from Him. That kind of boasting comes when we are not trusting in ourselves, but leaning hard upon Jesus as our Savior. So that's where Paul wanted people to be. And to that end, he would use warnings. So he wanted people to walk in assurance, and warnings were one means that he had to give the people the assurance that comes from being near Christ.
That's tomorrow at this same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.